The opening act and the final scene of the second act both take place in offices.
Yeah.
Were you trying to create some kind of parallel environment?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. There's an event at the center of Gloria that really acts as a kind of delineation between the before and after.
You know?
And I think that in that sense, we were really struck by this notion of the play kind of moving through a looking glass after the events of the first act. So when you see the play, you'll notice that the architecture, the sort of architectural ground plan of the office space in Act One basically flips in Act Two. So it is a reflection of itself. The office is very different. It takes place in a completely different part of the country and in a way a very different industry. But we were very much interested in the echoes of the first act appearing in the second act. Brandon talks a lot about this notion of ghosts and the second act being haunted by the first act. And so we looked at a lot of different ways that happened. I don't know if you noticed, but there's one moment. It's great. There's one moment when Devin, who's one of the characters in the second act, is standing and getting coffee. And it's one of those sort of like press thermoses. And it connects with Dean's last moment in the first act. I can't talk about it on this because you have to see it to really understand it. You know, in his encounter with Gloria, right?
He wets himself.
Yeah, he bangs up against the cabinet, filing cabinet, and he wets himself. So this notion of him then sitting there and pouring out this coffee, it gets a chuckle once in a while because there are certain people who like get it. They see exactly what's going on there.
So there are reflections throughout
that sequence.
Oh yeah,
throughout the play. Yeah. Dean in Act One sends Miles to get him a coconut water.
Right.
And then in the second act, Devin, the same actor in a different role, sort of like comes in and he's like holding up some of the coconut water that they have in their quality of life station. And he's like, whatever this is. And he starts pouring himself some coffee. You know, there's things like the phones. The phones are essentially white versions of the desk phones. The office phones in Act Two are like they're white versions of the office phones in Act One. There's only one item that manifests itself across the two offices, which is the printer. And that was intentional. We wanted the kind of the copier printer device in the first act to be the same as the one in the second act. And there's a great moment when Lauren, a character in the play, kind of clocks that printer. And it sort of like, it's like it makes him kind of do a slight double take. But there's moments like that throughout. There's like throughout the play. And that was one of the fun things about working on it.
I had only one problem. It seemed like the final scene of the play peters out.
Uh-huh. That's true. So, you know, like a way to think about it is this. You mean like the way that it ends?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So like, I mean, it's like it's when you think about it this way, right? Act One ends with a bang and Act Two ends with a whimper. A perfectly and completely and utterly intentional choice, I think, of the play and certainly of our production. Like, I think partly what Brandon is saying, this might be an off the record thing, but like what Brandon is saying is that when you experience an event of trauma like that, right, that event of trauma, whether it's like an earthquake or a death in the family or like whatever it is, you know, there is the before that it creates a very clear, distinct ending of, and then there is the after of which it is only the beginning of, right? So to offer the same sort of sharp ending at the end of the second act that Brandon offers at the end of the first act is actually working against the notion of the play, which is that you never really fully heal. You never really go back to what you were. You're always trying to figure it out. And there isn't he's not offering closure in that way to an audience. Like, I think that's I was talking to Brandon about that a little bit. I was like, is this the sort of play? Like, what have the ovations been like for this sort of play? He's like, oh yeah, that's a touchy one because, you know, the play doesn't.
It stops. It doesn't. It's sort of like, exactly.
And that's because the journeys of these characters, as it is with all of us, we just have life to continue. Like, we just learn to move forward. And I think that's what I consider to be an extraordinary element of the play, is that he commits to that. You know, he doesn't do the thing that a well-made play would do, which is to kind of like deliver you that kind of button ending. He's actually saying, no, life does not afford us that kind of closure, right? This event is what it is, and it occurs in the middle of the play, and the play reverberates from that.